ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, in the matter of Narada instructs the Prachetas, Text 9. Narada Uvacha Tat Janma तानि कर्माणि तद् आयुस् तद् मनोवचः निनाम्येन हि विश्वात्मा सेव्यते हरिर् ईश्वरः। नारद उवाच तज्जन्मतानि कर्माणि तदायुस्तन्मनोवचः निनाम्येन हि विश्वात्मा सेवते हरिरीश्वरः। नारद उवाच तज्जन्मतानि कर्माणि तदायुस्तन्मनोवचः निनाम्येन हि विश्वात्मा सेवते हरिरीश्वरः। नारद उवाच तज्जन्मतानि कर्माणि तदायुस्तन्मनोवचः निनाम्येन हि विश्वात्मा सेवते हरिरीश्वरः।
Yeah.
नृणाम्येन हि विश्वात्मा सेव्यते हरिरीश्वरः. Matajis. सेव्यते हरिरीश्वरः. नारद उवाच तज्जन्मतानि कर्माणि तदायुष्मनोवचः. नृणाम्येन हि विश्वात्मा सेव्यते हरिरीश्वरः. नारद उवाच. नारद सेड तत् जन्म दैट बर्थ तानि दोज कर्माणि फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज तत् That ayuhu, span of life, tat, that, manaha, mind, vachaha, words, ninam, of human beings, yena, by which, he, certainly, vishva atma, The super soul, Sevyate, is served. Harihi, the Supreme Personality of God. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Controller. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Jai Shri Krishna. Translation. The great sage Narada said, when a living entity is born to engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Controller, his birth, all his fruitive activities, his lifespan, his mind, and his words are all factually perfect. Purport. In this verse, the word Ninam is very important. There are many other births besides human birth, but Narada Muni is here in especially speaking of human birth. Among human beings, there are different types of men. Of these, those who are advanced in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness are called Aryans. Among Aryans, one who engages in the devotional service of the Lord is most successful in life. The word Nunam indicates that lower animals are not expected to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. But in perfect human society, everyone should engage in the devotional service of the Lord. It does not matter whether one is born poor or rich, black or white. There may be so many material distinctions for one who takes birth in human society, but everyone should engage in the Lord's devotional service. At the present moment, civilized nations have given up God consciousness for economic development. They are actually no longer interested in advancing in God consciousness. Formerly, their forefathers were engaged in executing religious principles. Whether one is Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Jewish or whatever, everyone has some religious institution. Real religion, however, means becoming God conscious. It is particularly mentioned herein that birth is successful if an interest in Krishna consciousness is taken. Activity is successful if it results in serving the Lord. Philosophical speculation or mental speculation is successful when engaged in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The senses are worth possessing when engaged in the service of the Lord. Actually, devotional service means engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. At the present moment, our senses are not purified. Therefore, our senses are engaged in the service of society, friendship, love, politics, sociology, and so on. However, when the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, one attains bhakti or devotional service. In the next verse, these matters will be more clearly explained. When one great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Lord, he said that all his desires were fulfilled. He said, "Today everything is auspicious. Today my birthplace and neighborhood are completely glorified. Today my senses from my eyes down to my toes are fortunate. Today my life is successful because I have been able to see the lotus feet that are worshipped by the goddess of fortune." Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swamin Itinamine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Dhamadaya Nagaragramadharine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Paranatana Dase Itinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavananda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Yatkripa Tamaham Bande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Katanchana Smrite Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Vipritam Syat Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam. So here Narada begins to talk to the Prachetas. So far, the Prachetas were offering their respects to Narada, and from this verse onwards, Narada begins to speak. So here, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions, in the first part of this purport, he brings out the value of human life. And he says, at the present moment, civilized nations have given up God consciousness for economic development. Why is this being done? Because they think that economic development can bring happiness. It kind of seems to fit within common sense. You have more money, you have more arrangements, you can be more happy. So why do you need God? So that is the materialistic conception of life. However, spirit and matter are categorically different. A spirit soul cannot derive enjoyment from matter. Spirit can derive enjoyment only from spirit. Spirit and matter are categorically different. Therefore, the concept that economic development, which is a material concept, can give happiness is false. About a month ago, I heard a very humorous story which brings out this point very nicely. It is the story of the two asses. Once there were two asses and they were friends, and they were under the same master. So in India, what happens is there are fairs where people take their animals and they sell them sometimes. They sell asses, they sell cows, goats, like this. So one day, this master, he took these two asses and sold them in the fair, the village fair. However, the same master, that's the new master who purchased these asses, he did not purchase both the asses. One new master purchased one ass and another new master purchased another ass. So these two asses who were friends, they were sold off during childhood, and so they were separated. So they went to two new masters. 20 years later, somehow they happened to meet. So one ass asked the other ass, "How's life?" And he said, "Great. You know what happened with me? After I was taken by one master, by this master of mine, or one master, the master was not present, okay. After I was taken by my master, new master, I was struggling a lot. He used to give me so much work. It was simply pain, so much struggle. So one day I thought, why should I struggle so much? Anyway, there is so much of foodstuffs available outside, there's grass, so many things. So then I decided, let me just forget this master. So I got free from that master. Since the last 5 years, I'm just roaming around. When I go to Hare Krishna temple, I get some prasadam, and there are so much foodstuffs. Life is great. So then this ass, the one who's liberated, the liberated ass, asked the ass in bondage, "How is your life?" "So terrible. I think my master is worse than yours. He gives me much more work than what your master used to give you. From your description, I understand my life is more difficult." So then this liberated ass tells this other ass that, "So why do you have to struggle like this? Be like me. I'm a proof, living proof that you can be happy. Forget this master." "So no. I'm staying with this master, because there is something which I can achieve, you cannot achieve." He said, "What is that?" You see, in India, the parents, they usually stress a lot on academic excellence in schools. Whether it's a boy or a girl, they stress a lot on academic excellence. So I remember that when I was growing up, my father would tell me sometimes, "If you don't study properly, you'll end up plowing in the fields," as if that was a bad activity. But that's how, generally, in all households, they say, what is the consequence when you don't study? Sometimes you hear that, okay, you'll end up in a garage as a mechanic. So like that. So they try to make you study well and become a professional. So this donkey's landlord, he had a daughter, and this daughter was somehow not studying well. So for 10 years, usually school life is 10 years, this Master will repeatedly tell his daughter, "You see, if you don't study well, when you grow up, I'll get you married to this donkey." So, this ass, or the donkey, was living with that hope. He said, 10 years I've heard my master say that if his daughter doesn't study well, I'm going to get his daughter in marriage. He said, and surely she doesn't study well. It's only a question of time. I'm going to get married to this donkey's daughter. You don't have this privilege. I have this privilege. So, this is an impossible dream. Categorically, a donkey is different from a human being. You don't have a human being getting married to a donkey. But yet, there is hope. So like that, there is no hope for happiness from the material world, from the bodily concept of life, from economic development. There is no scope for happiness. Because spirit is different in category from matter. But yet, we maintain that hope. Somehow, we can be happy. Now, these days, it's the days of the smartphone. It can perform various functions. So the name of the device signifies what it can do. Phone, we know what you can generally normally talk on a phone. But smartphone can do much more things than a regular phone. So that's why it's called a smartphone. It can do so many other things. Now, if we look at the material world, Krishna has designed this material world and he has called it Dukkalayam. Now the name signifies what it has to offer. Now this is the designer himself. The person who has designed the smartphone, he said, this is a smartphone, it can do these things. Now Krishna, who has designed this material world, calls it Dukkalayam. Dukkalayam. So there is no scope whatsoever for happiness in this material world. Yet we maintain the hope, maybe one day we'll become happy. We just have to adjust it a little bit. Maybe if these things happen in my life, I'll be happy. So we keep on hoping like this. But this is a hopeless hope. A hope which can never, ever be fulfilled. Because spirit and matter are different in category. Now the spirit, so what does it mean? So there is some, we all have experienced so-called material happiness. To some extent, maybe a drop or a little bit more than a drop. We've experienced some kind of material happiness. So what is that material happiness actually? So Prabhupada, he gives the example that when we are sleeping, we see a tiger is coming to eat us. We suddenly react. Oh, we wake up. So what is actually happening there? Because we are identifying with that dream, we feel that distress. But actually we are lying down in bed. Nothing is happening to us. But we're identifying so much, we think it is happening to us. So this is material life. The so-called happiness that you get is the happiness of identification. We think it is happening to us, but it's actually not happening to us. It's not actually happening. Of course, the spirit soul is experiencing. It is experiencing this identification, identifying with matter. But in reality, it does not happen to the spiritual, it's not an experience directly of the devotion of the soul, just like engaging in devotional service. Directly, the soul engages in the service of the Lord. But here, it is just the happiness of identification. Similarly, the distress of identification. So identification is the key. That's why we have the false ego. Nothing really is happening to the spirit soul in the sense that, just like devotional service, actually happening to the spirit soul. But here, the spirit soul is untouched by happiness and distress. But because of the experience of, because of identification, we think it is happening. So Prabhupada used to say, this whole day, now we think this is real life. But Prabhupada said, this is daydream. Night dream, daydream. The soul is simply sleeping and dreaming. So when the soul wakes up, it does only one thing, perform devotional activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the waking state of the soul, it performs only one activity, which is engaging in the devotional service of the Lord. So this is what is happening to us. This process we just identify. Therefore, it is said, there is no prospect of actual happiness. Economic development cannot bring you happiness. It is only devotional service which brings us happiness. And earlier on in this chapter, we saw how when Narada Muni appears on the scene, the Prachetas, they say, all the Prachetas begin to address the great sage Narada. O great sage, O Brahmana, we hope you met with no disturbances while coming here. It is due to our great fortune that we are now able to see you. By the traveling of the sun, people are relieved by the fear of the darkness of night, a fear brought about by thieves and rogues. Similarly, your traveling is like the sun's, for you drive away all kinds of fear. So, by this process of identification with matter, we're constantly in a state of anxiety. That is why this world is called a place of Kunta. Vaikunta means no anxiety. Kunta means anxiety. So we are always filled with fear due to being in the attached to the material concept of life. So when a great saintly personality like Narada Muni appears on the scene, then it becomes bright like the sun. Therefore we pray, Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurunmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this material concept of life is like darkness, dense darkness actually. So by the presence of a great saintly personality, it's like bright as the sun. That is why it is important to take the association for saintly personality. Then scripture, the Bhagavatam says, Krishnesva Damopagate Dharma Jnanadibhisa Kalau Nashta Drisham Mesha Puranarko Adinoditaha. That after Lord Krishna left this planet, he took away, along with religion, religiosity, Dharma Jnanadibhisa, Jnana, knowledge, all these things. Krishna represents Dharma, knowledge, everything. So Krishna, he's accompanied by Dharma, he's accompanied by knowledge. So after they all have left, this Bhagavata Purana, which is as brilliant as the sun, has come to relieve us from the darkness of material life, the dense darkness of Kali Yuga. So we should take advantage of the Bhagavatam. Take advantage of the saintly personalities. And then, what happens when we take advantage of the saintly personalities and the Bhagavatam? We begin to engage in the actual activity of the soul, which is devotional service. So here, in this purport, Prabhupada mentions how all objects can be engaged in the service of the Lord. Now this is a great science, how to engage all objects in the service of the Lord. Rupa Goswami defines it as Anasakta Vishayan Yatarham Upayunjate Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Muchyate. So it begins with Anasakta Vishayan. We should first of all understand that Krishna is meant to enjoy everything in this world. So anasakta vishayan. So we engage objects being anasakta. We engage objects being unattached to them for our personal sense of enjoyment. Anasakta. That we engage in the service of the Lord. We're not attached to that. It is not that, oh, I have a smartphone, it gives me so much pleasure, I can watch a movie, I can gossip with my friends, but Krishna is so kind, I can also hear some lecture. So you, along with Krishna is so kind, the process of Krishna consciousness is so nice that I get the best of both worlds. I can hear a lecture. I can also do other things. I can play games. I can watch a movie. This is not the concept of Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means to use something exclusively for the service of the Lord. That word exclusively is important. It is not that we engage some object for Krishna's pleasure and our pleasure. So we use objects exclusively for Krishna's pleasure. That is called Yukta Vairagya. Otherwise, as one devotee mentioned to me, Yukta Bhoga. We are not following the process of Yukta Bhoga. We are following the process of Yukta Vairagya. That word Vairagya goes with Yukta. So, Anasakta Vishayan, which means you are unattached to the objects for your own sense gratification, but we are engaging it in the service of the Supreme Lord. And in that process, externally, there may be so many manifestations. Sometimes non-devotees think this Hare Krishna movement is so much opulent. It's got properties, it's got so many different things, material assets. To their eyes, it appears like material assets. Once, a Prabhupada was giving a darshan in Mumbai on the rooftop. So Prabhupada had a disciple called Manmohan Prabhu. He was a businessman. And on this particular day when Prabhupada was speaking, it was an assembly of many professionals. You had lawyers and doctors and so many different professionals. So when Manmohan Prabhu entered this assembly, Prabhupada said, "Oh, now we have a businessman also." So it is complete. You have doctors, you have lawyers, you know, other people. You have businessmen also now. So this circle is complete. So Manmohan Prabhu offered his obeisances to Prabhupada. And after he rose up, he asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, am I the businessman or are you the businessman?" So Prabhupada said, "What do you mean? I am the businessman? I'm a sannyasi. Where do you talk these kind of things? I have no connection with this business." So then Manmohan Prabhu said, "You went to America with very little money in your hand. Now see what has happened. You got so much property, got so much money all over the world. So who is the businessman, Prabhupada? Are you the businessman or am I the businessman?" Prabhupada said, "Yes. So why don't you join my business?" So, that is the vision of a pure devotee, that he can engage everything in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he has come to teach us that. So we have to learn from that. And especially in Kali Yuga, we have a great fortune. Krishna explained the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And then Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us actual example. So we have a reference. What is the meaning of a devotee? Here, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. This is what a devotee means. So we can learn from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is so merciful. He has actually come to show us how to practice devotional service. And as Lochandas Thakur sings, "Sabe avatara shara shiromani kevala ananda kanda." This process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given is kevala ananda kanda. So there is no need to look for happiness from economic prosperity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us ananda kanda, kevala ananda kanda. Kevala means only. So it is not that some elements of this process are difficult, and some elements of this process are ananda. Some process are dukkha, some process are ananda. No, it's not like that. It is kevala ananda kanda, which means every element of the process of Krishna consciousness is kevala ananda kanda, which is simply blissful. So we have to simply take to this process. Take the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All that we do is simply take it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that when you are in a difficult situation, especially if you've fallen into a deep dark well, now in these modern days it's very difficult to spot a well. So it's basically like a big pit. And I've seen many wells in my life. So some wells are really scary, very deep, dark. So when you've fallen into such a pit, deep pit, somebody throws a rope at you. You have to hold it. You cannot say, Krishna, please pull me out also. Please hold the rope. So he's throwing the rope. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. He has given us a rope. So what is Lochindas Thakur says? Vishayacharyas Serase Majiya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. So two things we have to do. Chant the holy names of the Lord and give up sense gratification. We have to do these two things. Chant Vishayacharya Serase Majiya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. So to experience the same song, Ananda Kanda, Kevala Ananda Kanda, where he says. So these two things we have to do. Lord Chaitanya is Mahavadanyaya. He is distributing love of God freely. We have to take it. How do we take it? By chanting Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari and Vishayacharya. By giving up sense gratification. So these two things go hand in hand. As you chant the holy names, you give up sense gratification. As you give up sense gratification, you chant more and more the holy names. So that's how it works. So they go hand in hand. So this is our process, that we chant the holy names, we give up sense gratification, and we simply engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada here mentions how this last paragraph, he mentions, when one great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Lord, he said that all his desires were fulfilled. He said, today everything is auspicious. Today my birthplace and neighborhood are completely glorified. Today my senses, from my eyes down to my toes, are fortunate. Today my life is successful because I've been able to see the lotus feet that are worshipped by the goddess of fortune. So this is told by Srivas Thakur to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of great ecstasy, Srivas Pandit spoke like this to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should all have one kind of fear. Like we had this discussion, there are some days ago, the discussion about fear, and where it's here in this class also, I began by speaking about fear. There are two kinds of fear essentially. One kind of fear is the degrading type of fear. The other fear is the elevating or purifying type of fear. Now, what is the degrading type of fear? It is fear which arises from material identification. When you identify with matter, immediately there's fear, there is anxiety. So by taking to the process of Krishna consciousness, one becomes fearless. That is a symptom of one who has taken to Krishna consciousness properly. He is fearless because it depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is free from this degrading type of fear which arises from material identification. Yet he has another kind of fear, a transcendental fear, a purifying type of fear, which Prabhupada explains, which just like Devaki, she was always afraid, Kamsa is going to kill my children. And our acharyas have explained that this type of fear is very good. Being afraid of matter, being afraid of Maya. So that's compared to being afraid of Maya. Shukadeva Goswami, he was in his mother's womb for 16 years. Because he was afraid of the material energy. So Krishna personally assured him, I'll protect you. Please come out. So this is the purifying type of fear. So when we advance in Krishna consciousness, we develop this kind of fear. May I always engage in the service of the Lord. May I not fall down. That is not a degrading type of fear. That is a purifying fear. So we give up the degrading fear when we take to Krishna consciousness. We become fearless. And we develop a transcendental fear, The fear that I need to be always engaged in devotional service of the Lord. Please protect me, O my Lord. Prabhupada himself personally set that example. When he was in front of the deities once, he was praying, and when one disciple asked him, Prabhupada, what did you pray? Prabhupada said, I was praying to the deities that I may not fall down. So this is a symptom of a great devotee. He's fearful of Maya. He's completely dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we chant the holy names and we give up sense gratification and we are fearful that we do not fall into Maya again. We are fearful to protect our devotional service. And by this process, one becomes very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I think I'll stop here if there are any comments or questions. Exactly 8:45. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.